are together with them.
The attacks are not limited to Muslim places of worship. Physical assaults on Muslim men and women are also an almost daily occurrence.
A 2019 study found that more than half of Germans view Islam as a threat. In the same year, nearly 1,000 incidents were reported against Muslims and institutions. And in 2020, at least one Muslim individual or mosque was either physically assaulted or received death threats almost every day.
Another report published in 2020 criticizes many European states for failing to report on anti-Muslim incidents as a separate category of hate crime.
This plan is against Islam. Everything is planned. And in Germany, the fruits, because of our history, of course, we do have people who are racist. I don't know how much percent. And that is in whole Europe.
Despite all the warnings and criticism, anti-Muslim hatred, fueled by the propaganda of new Nazi groups and the far-right opposition parties, has only grown, a reality that does not bode well for the country's nearly 5 million Muslims. Saeed Pourreza, London.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to the IRIB English Radio, and this is the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. We have with us in studio today our guest speaker, Brother Al-Musawi. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, Brother Musawi, we have been talking about the signs that parents could look for that indicate them that their child is going through a problem. To give a little summary, you said in the previous episode that some behaviors parents could notice, like biting nails, sucking thumbs, urinating in the bed, checking the anger level of their children, just seeing that if their kids are violent with others, fighting and not reacting, and you said like being obedient all the time is also one of the problems. And you said that family environment also plays a great role. If a child sees parents fighting with each other and does not react, there's a problem. And if he even reacts, he loses respect for either of his parents.
Yeah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we will continue with where we left off last time.
Yeah.
So looking at the signs which are in the environment, which is the house, basically. And sometimes what we do as parents will affect our children directly in terms of their behavior. So sometimes instead of blaming the child himself for things, sometimes we should blame ourselves. Or instead of trying to fix the child, we should definitely fix our own mistakes. So, for example, sometimes when you have family issues, whether it is, God forbid, a violence towards one of the parents between themselves and the spouses, or there are constant fights and constant arguments, it creates such an environment for the child, it becomes so much pressure and negativity in the child's mind that it makes the child run away. So we have a lot of runaway children or children who sometimes, in a lot of countries, especially in the West, where they end up calling child services themselves, or sometimes you see them complain to the teachers, and in return, the teachers would call child services, and then they end up losing the child altogether. So yeah. Sometimes all these kids who leave the house or run away from the house, or at least not permanently, at least for a while, like they just don't want to be in the house, is because there's so much pressure inside that the child doesn't want to face all this drama. Because you got to keep in mind, they're still young. Children, be it males or females.
Yeah.
The girls are more sensitive to this issue than the boys. The boys, sometimes they might just overlook it. But with girls, they're very sensitive. And especially if the mother is involved, like if the violence or arguments or fights are against the mother, because children are more attached to their mothers than their fathers.
So that
causes them a lot of mental stress.
Yeah.
So sometimes that leads the child to leave the house and and stay for long times outside the house. For example, he spends a lot of time with his friends. Or sometimes you have kids just staying outside the door. They just sit outside or play outside. They just don't want to come inside. Or sometimes they express that being away, not physically, but I mean going outside the house, but they lock themselves in their own rooms. They don't want to interact with the parents or with the family. So that indicates there's a problem, at least with the parents themselves, that they need to make sure that they fix and take care of.
All right. So there's a problem with the parents sometimes. If they're fighting, they need to behave themselves first before they start behaving their children. And if we see that the child is not interacting more with the family, he's spending more time outside or locking himself in their room, there is a problem your child is going through. Well, brother, I'll be talking to you, but after a very short break, dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We are talking about Islamic upbringing and the signs which could help you that indicate your child is going through some problem. Yes, brother, you said like sometimes children lock up themselves in their room and spend less time with the families.
Yeah. So another sign that we have to look for, or at least to be mindful for, is that, and this is something that a lot of parents complain about, is that their child is too noisy. They're making too much problems in the house. They're fighting too much with their brothers. They're causing a lot of, friction. They're constantly crying, constantly angry.
Mm-hmm.
So all these issues that happens in the house, if it's constant, then we know there's a problem.
Okay.
Because normally, and generally speaking, the child should be at peace with his brothers and sisters. Yes, they do fight from time to time, obviously because there's a conflict,
right.
But it shouldn't be constant. Because
there
sometimes
should not be a constant
fight. Sometimes you have kids constantly fighting with each other. Or for example, if one of the children constantly bullying the other child.
Well, you remind me of one of the questions I myself must have. My brother-in-law has a son, and when he comes home, they start fighting. They definitely do fight. My son and his son, they're like around 7 years old, and whenever they, we cannot leave them anywhere alone. We know that they are going to fight.
Mm.
But when it comes to outside, they're like dumb. They cannot fight with other children, but they make so huge fights among each other. So I think that could also indicate something.
It definitely, see, because we're talking about the family itself, so because they are related in a way.
Yeah.
So the issue is like it's a very personal issue to one another.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a reason for them to be fighting constantly. So it's no longer, I mean, if he goes out with other children, he's fine. But especially when he's with that particular person, he's fighting. So it's like I said, you have to diagnose the situation so you could see either it's a problem initiates from hate? Is it a hate factor that he just hates that child?
Right.
Is it because he thinks he's better than him? Is it because that child, for example, has things that he does not have?
Right.
Is it because he is more valued by his parents and this guy he feels like he's not valued himself?
Right.
So he starts to compare himself to this child, and once he sees that he's not as good as him, naturally it comes out in a form of an argument, in a form of a fight. So it's not natural. In natural cases, in general cases, they should get along very well, especially if they are close in age.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they should be interacting with each other. But if they are not, then there's definitely a cause.
Though they are always, but there's this fight always that takes place. I mean, if for example, if I'm going out and buying something for my kid, there's definitely my kid telling me why you're not buying for my cousin, all right? So I have to always buy two in place of one. I have to buy two. So he's so much caring about him. But at the same time, whenever they come, they meet, hi, hello, they hug each other in a way, like we say, they will never fight. But I don't know, all of a sudden, as fight erupts and parents have to, you know, drag them, please stop it. Yeah.
So like I said, it's definitely, there's a trigger point, as we say, that's triggering this fight.
Yes.
Like I said.
So I would want to ask you, what's that triggering point? But after a very short break, dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIP English Radio.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "A righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the signs that parents should look for if their children are fighting or if there's something wrong with the children. So we were talking about fight between kids, and you were saying that there could be some points that could be triggering.
Yeah. So like I said, when you look at a specific case, like I said, you will find the trigger point very easily if you start to compare and look at the environment. So for example, now you just mentioned the fact that your child, for example, you buy something for him, so he has to buy something for his cousin. So he ends up giving a toy to his cousin. That itself, from a child's perspective, obviously, from a child's point of view, he looks at it as him being, I'm not sure if I could use the word degraded. He feels that he's less worthy because, I mean, sometimes I give you a gift when you are very well off is one thing. But sometimes I give you something because I know you're in need of it.
All
so
right.
Naturally you'll feel like, okay, I am at a loss. Let's say I am poor and you're giving me a handout. So as much as from where you're standing, you're actually helping me. But from where I am, I see it as, you know, I'm being, someone is else is trying to take care of me. You know what I mean?
Or,
so that naturally makes me feel low at some stage.
All right.
So maybe like 5 minutes after we're talking with each other, and then it comes out. You know, once this greetings and all this formality goes away, then my true nature comes out.
All right.
So this could be, like I said, it could be a trigger. Sometimes, like I said, if the other child, if he looks at your child and he compares himself with his parents, for example, he sees that you're very nice to your child.
All right.
You're very respecting towards your child, but he sees a difference from his parents as well.
All right.
So all these things, like I said, even mentally and subconsciously, they have accumulated in a child himself. Like I said, so you need to study not only your child's behavior, but you need to study the other child's behavior.
Check your behavior.
So what happens is they accumulate them, and at some point, it just comes out. It just blows up.
Yeah.
And like I said, when a child expresses his emotional state or his mental state, it comes because he's a child, so he's not going to want to sit like me and you and discuss it logically.
Yeah.
It will come in a form of, let's say, like I said, in a form of a fight.
Fight.
In a form of disobedience. In a form of breaking something. In a form of creating, a scene.
Yeah.
That's a child's way of expressing that there's a problem. So like I said, so when we look at this specific case that you're going through, definitely there are, like I said, trigger points. But you, because you know the family very well, you know your child very well, you know the cousin very well.
I need to analyze it myself.
So you have to analyze what might be going wrong. Sometimes it could be even a simple issue. For example, a lot of parents, for example, when they talk to their children, they talk to them always from an authoritative voice.
Yeah.
Like, not a respective voice. Like, you know, you say, darling, you know, my this, my that, depending on the language you're using.
Yeah.
So we use beautiful words sometimes. Yeah. Where the other people, the other parents, for example, they use nothing.
Yeah.
Right? That's definitely going to cause an issue for a child. Like, when he comes with other children.
All right.
Because a child always measuring. The child is always comparing. That's what a child does. So that's why sometimes you see the child coming to you saying, oh, he has this, I don't have this.
Yes.
Why don't you give me the same thing that he has? So he's constantly comparing, and he wants to have the same as others having. If he doesn't, and if he finds out or he knows that he can't, then like I said, this becomes a problem within him that later
and
on
that
he
comes
will,
out in the form of a fight or some other things. So thank you so much, brother. You said that even sometimes parents need to analyze certain things that could, you know, come up as a fight between the children, and that could indicate the behavior of a child is not normal. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media platforms by simply searching Call of Islam Radio. You can also go to our website and listen to our program. That's www.parstoday.com. And there will be a tab, COI Radio, Call of Islam Radio. Until another session, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's topic, the abandoned treasures. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are an ummah, we are a nation whose first revelation and inspiration was Iqra, read. We are people of a culture which was built upon the slogan of Allama bil Qalam. With the pen, he taught. We are followers of a great prophet who taught us Ista'in bi yaminik, seek help from your hands to write. So when people used to come to Holy Prophet and tell him that many of the teachings which you tell us, we forget those precious information. The Holy Prophet said, Sta'in bi yaminik, seek help from your hand, write down. So we read, and then we wrote. And we then read and wrote until we discovered an abundant treasure, a book. And then we wrote another, and third, and fourth, until we needed a library. Then one, another, and third. So we eventually established a civilization based upon reading, writing, and books. That was our great civilization of Islam. In that civilization, the books are said to be, as Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam says, Al-Kutubu Basatinul Ulama. The books are the orchards of scholars. And what does that mean? that they grow trees of knowledge there and pluck the fruits of wisdom. So we are children of a culture which began with Iqra, read, and flourished with Allama bil Qalam, with the pen he taught. Such a great civilization and such a great culture and such a great nation which was based upon the knowledge and books. That was our culture. That was our real legacy. Welcome back. We were talking about our beautiful legacy of knowledge, our beautiful legacy and culture of reading, writing, and books. Well, if we have such a rich culture and such a great culture and rich history of relationship to books, if we are the successors of a wonderful tradition of reading and writing, if we are heirs of a great legacy of books and writings in all fields of knowledge, then why we fell behind? Why we distanced ourselves from their tradition? Why we should be detached from the wonderful legacy of reading and writing? We should think and reconsider our individual and collective life and return to that great tradition. Not only because that books cause nations to develop and prosper, but also because books are themselves great. They are lovely. They make a good and loyal friend. They enlighten you from inside and open new horizons for you in the life. They are sources of self-development and reform. You reveal new things about yourself, about people around you. They are doors which you open towards new worlds, new realms. So at the last, I will say, stick to the books. Befriend them. Rather fall in love with them. They will never betray you. Also teach your children to befriend them. Choose good books for them. That will eventually make them good humans. Because books are flowers. They have fragrance. And their fragrance is knowledge. Their fragrance is virtue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to choose good books and read them and enlighten ourselves by the fragrance of the books. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you very much, listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. To find out more about this program, log on to our website parstoday.com/EN, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Fires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
The UN Human Rights Office agrees that the veteran Palestinian journalist was killed by Israeli fire last month. The probe finds that Abu Akleh and her colleague were targeted by seemingly well-aimed bullets as they covered a military raid in the occupied West Bank.
All the information we have gathered, including official documentation from the Israeli military and the Palestinian Attorney General, is consistent with the finding that the shots that killed Abu Akleh and injured her colleague came from Israeli security forces and not from indiscriminate firing by armed Palestinians, as was initially claimed by the Israeli authorities.
So far, several media organizations have conducted their own investigations into the incident, and all have come to the same conclusion. Multiple witnesses also agreed with the probes, stating that Israeli forces shot the veteran Palestinian reporter. Meanwhile, Al Jazeera and its host country, Qatar, pointed the fingers at Israel from the outset. The UN has also confirmed that Abu Akleh was wearing a blue flak jacket marked with the word press when being shot by Israeli troops, exposing the gruesome nature of the daylight murder and suggesting that they were deliberately targeted.
As long as the United States and its allies continue to not only embrace this position, but to promote this position using every tactic at their disposal, including threats, the more that has been the case, the more the occupation is quite happy to resort to war crimes bordering on what one could also say are crimes against humanity, albeit in a very calculated move, drawn out over a period of decades, as is the case with ethnic cleansing, which if it happened over a shorter period of time, would fit very nicely with the definition of a genocide.
The killing of yet another journalist is, however, in line with the pattern of Israeli violence against reporters and other members of the media. The Palestinian Ministry of Information says at least 45 journalists have been killed by Israeli forces since 2000. Israeli brutality against Palestinians and journalists has been a topic of discussion for many years now. The regime has, however, never accepted blame for its wrongdoing and in nearly all cases baselessly shifted the blame on Palestinians, and the case of Abu Akleh is no exception. Following the UN's report, the Israeli regime insisted that the fatal shooting of Abu Akleh was unintentional, pointing out at the same time that it had not received access to critical evidence that might determine whether she was killed by an Israeli soldier or a Palestinian gunman. Israel's military also says Palestinian authorities should hand over the bullet that killed Shireen. The demand has, however, been met by widespread criticism, with Palestinians saying the regime should hand over the gun, which is believed to have killed the journalist, as Israel can't be trusted of conducting a fair investigation of itself. The murder of Abu Akleh, which sparked global outrage, only adds to Israel's long list of atrocities against Palestinians. But that fury has yet to translate into any concrete measure, particularly by international bodies such as the UN Security Council. So far, several international organizations have provided evidence of Israel's brutality against Palestinians. UN resolutions have also been passed against Israel for its occupation and blockades of the coastal enclave. Yet, no one, including the UNSC, has used any of its tools to ensure resolutions related to ending the Israeli siege imposed on Gaza have been implemented.
The complete lack of accountability only encourages, as we have seen, more war crimes by the occupation. And the unfortunate that the position long taken by the number one sponsor of the occupation, the United States of America, is that Palestinians and Israelis should resolve their differences through negotiation, and in both instances should be prevented from invoking international law and the institutions which administer it in order to impose a solution in keeping with their respective legal obligations in the so-called rules-based international order. And that, of course, is really quite absurd.
Instead, many of the UNSC member states have doubled their support for Israel, despite its blockade and bombardment of Gaza and murdering dozens of innocent women and children. Some even increased their support for the regime and obliged neighboring countries to forge ties with it. And in absence of action, there is no reason to expect Israeli violence against the Palestinians, whether a journalist or not, whether well-known or not, will end anytime soon.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says the European Union and NATO are gathering a coalition for war with Moscow. This after the EU unanimously granted candidacy status to Ukraine and Moldova. Lavrov drew parallels between current-day events and those of the first half of the 20th century when Germany was preparing an attack on the Soviet Union.
When the Second World War was about to start, Hitler gathered most of the European countries under his banners. Now the EU and NATO are also gathering the same modern coalition for the fight, and by and large for war with the Russian Federation. We will look at this very carefully.
Lavrov's remarks came after the EU leaders stepped up rhetoric against Russia.
EU's decision strengthens Ukraine and Moldova in the face of Russian aggression.
A confrontation between Moscow and NATO's nuclear armed members would have catastrophic consequences for Europe. After all, Europe would be the immediate theater of such a war.
In terms of the possibilities of war, NATO fighting a war with Russia, I don't think they are very good. First of all, because the United States will not suffer as a result of this war. The Europeans will suffer. The Europeans, if they start down this path, they will unleash a nuclear war, in which case their entire, all of the NATO countries will be destroyed, all of the NATO bases. It will be a catastrophe for these people. And I think the leaders of the three major countries, Germany, France, and Italy, I think they understand this. And I think that's why they have been going to Kiev to have discussions with President Zelensky. They know that the people, this is not in their interest.
Candidate status is only the first step on the path to EU membership, which can take decades. But putting the EU action in the context of the current state of affairs, we can see that the rising escalation might quickly lead to catastrophic consequences. Tensions are also increasing between the EU and Russia over the growing Kaliningrad crisis. This after Lithuania began enforcing the EU sanctions and restricted the transit of goods to Kaliningrad. Moscow says the move amounts to a blockade of its exclave and has warned of serious consequences.
As for retaliatory measures and what they will be like, will they be exclusively in the diplomatic dimension? The answer is no. They will not be in the diplomatic dimension. They will be practical.
A move by Russia on Lithuania would clearly trigger NATO's Article 5 mutual defense provision, immediately pulling in all the alliance's members to a potential nuclear war with Russia. But how far can the Europeans really push for such an escalatory path with Russia, especially at a time when they are experiencing an energy crisis?
If you're asking me personally, I personally think that the main reason for the war in the Ukraine was to block the alliance between Germany and Russia. And the symbol of that alliance was the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which never got opened. As a result, now Germany is in a critical crisis because Russia has control of its energy. Russia just dialed down 40% of its energy. Germany cannot survive under these conditions. It is not in Germany's interest to commit suicide for the United States of America.
On Thursday, Ukraine said it had received U.S. supplies of high-mobility artillery rocket systems, a powerful long-range weapon system that Kiev hopes can help turn the tide on Russia's military offensive. Russian officials have repeatedly warned that the U.S. decision to supply Ukraine with advanced rocket systems could exacerbate the conflict.
Iran has released fresh details about the covert and planned operations of agents of Israeli spy agency in Iran. Officials say the three agents detained back in April were planning to assassinate Iranian nuclear scientists. Officials say the agents were arrested following a complicated intelligence operation that lasted 8 months. Judiciary officials say some members of the cell have been arrested in Iran's southeastern Sistan and Balochistan province, while other members and operatives have been detained outside the province by Iran's intelligence forces. Officials say the case is under preliminary investigation and that an indictment would be filed and sent to court soon. This is not the first time Iran busts Mossad-linked terrorists. In July last year, Iran's intelligence ministry arrested a network of agents with the Israeli Mossad spy agency at the western borders, confiscating a large cache of weapons and ammunition that they were planning to use to provoke riots and terror inside the country.
Well, of course there should be, and I don't think anyone is really going to seriously say it's unthinkable that Israel would try to assassinate Iranian figures, whether in science or politics. They've got a demonstrable propensity to do so, and they boast about it.
The arrests come amid open threats by Israeli officials against Iranian nuclear scientists and facilities. The regime is notorious for its sabotage activities and assassinations in Iran.
And the reason behind its stepped-up hostility toward Iran, and a very open hostility, is that Israel seeks to be the lone superpower, or you could say mini superpower, of the region as a junior partner of the big superpower, the United States.
Israel has tried various ways to stop Iran's nuclear progress. They include acts of sabotage, assassinating Iranian nuclear scientists, as well as threats to bomb Iran's nuclear installations. Probably the most high-profile assassination was the killing of Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, a top Iranian nuclear scientist who was brutally murdered by Mossad agents in 2020. Mossad was involved in an explosion that hit Iran's Natanz nuclear facility in 2021. Israel was also the main regional force that pushed the United States to exert economic and diplomatic pressure on Iran. The policy culminated in the so-called maximum pressure campaign of former President Donald Trump, but none of those policies reached their stated goals. Iran's economy did not collapse, and its nuclear program has accelerated massively after the U.S. quit the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or the JCPOA, in 2018.
It's the whole establishment, the whole Israeli establishment, that has this extreme hostility toward Iran and wants to continue to take action in the hopes of provoking something greater. It carries out assassinations, there's no question about that. It carries out bombings inside the country, carried out by covert agents. I think right now the United States government is not wishing to see an escalation into a full-blown war. And Israel does, in the final analysis, have to pay attention to what Washington thinks and says.
Just recently, a top U.S. think tank admitted to Israel's failure towards Iran. A report by Atlantic Council said that Israel's policy has failed to stop Iran. The article said the Tel Aviv regime needs to recalculate and adopt a strategy that corresponds to the current state of the Iranian nuclear program. Given the current state of affairs, the United States, which is Israel's staunch ally, needs to reconsider its unilateral support for Israel.
The meeting of leaders of the BRICS group of nations occurs amid major shifts in the geopolitical order. Talks have been held in a virtual format for the third consecutive year. The group owes its name to the initials of its five member states, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and emerged in 2009. This year, leaders focused on global economy and the changing dynamics of geopolitical and strategic alliances.
Russia has already called on the group's members to integrate their payment systems and use their respective national currencies for intra-organizational trade. The call came amid the West's unprecedented anti-Russia sanctions over Moscow's military operation in Ukraine. The coercive economic measures have cut some Russian banks off from the SWIFT interbank messaging and financial system, and tensions with the West. China also sees the summit as a platform to promote its vision for how international relations should be conducted. Chinese President Xi Jinping made a four-point proposal on pursuing high-quality development of BRICS cooperation. Xi stressed that BRICS countries, as important emerging markets and major developing countries, need to act with a sense of responsibility to bring positive, stabilizing, and constructive strength to the world.
But if you look at the Western nations, in particular in the U.S., there's a strong anti-globalization trend. And what the U.S. is doing today is basically create a lot of, mischievous behavior policies to disrupt a global supply chain. That creates a lot of problems. So in that sense, I think they do, the grouping have, the nations, they have a lot in common. And it's obviously everybody understands if they can unite with each other and have their voice heard, and they can better defend their interests and better build a more fairer and say a more just international order.
This year's agenda covered a range of topics, but particular emphasis was given to renewing multilateralism for global economic recovery, deepening coordination on climate action, and strengthening coordination on public health.
I think there are probably several issues, several reasons why it's resilient, why it's emerging stronger and stronger as a grouping. And firstly, I think it's, they have something in common. That is, they feel this international system, which was established mostly by Western countries, is not fair, is not just enough for developing countries, for example. We know that is Western countries' dominant international system. When the Western countries talk about, rules-based international order, often those rules are produced in Washington or in Brussels.
The economy has always been at the heart of the BRICS, but the Ukraine war loomed large over the summit. The economic impact of the war and the sanctions on Russia is showing across the world. Inflation is up in many countries, global supply chains have been disrupted, and there are fears of food shortages. Russia and China see the group as potential counterweight against Western-led hegemonic desires and imperialist intentions.
Obviously, now we are seeing the emerging of the multilateral world. You have Russia, which basically made it very public that the unilateral world has concluded. And the U.S. should accept that kind of reality, harsh reality for them. And with the rise of China, and we are basically seeing a new center. Before China's emerging power, you can see Washington would say the world center is in Washington, is in the U.S. And now you have a new center in Beijing.
BRICS nations have a combined population of 3.23 billion, and their combined GDP is more than $23 trillion. China proposed expanding the BRICS grouping during a meeting of the bloc's foreign ministers in May. Though the suggestion was welcomed by other member countries, there have been no official announcements of who the new members might be.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Habibullah Fasihizada with the Let's Recite the Holy Quran, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. This is a great time that we are having again some of our friends from Sevier International School.
Except for one.
Yeah, students. Three of our friends from Sevier International School here. So they have joined us to help us hold these Quranic sessions. We are back, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Thanks for being with us again. We want to practice and continue Surah Al-Duha, where we were practicing Dagger Aleph, Maqsur Aleph, and the complete Aleph, right? So inshallah, let's go and practice this surah. Then we will go and learn a new lesson, which will be very, very influential in reciting the Holy Quran, inshallah. So, Surah Al-Duha, I will be reciting, and our friends here, they will be repeating after me. And as you hear us, please repeat, okay, to master this surah as well, and also learn those rules.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Okay, page 596, Surah Al-Duha, والضحى والليل إذا سجى Middle of the page, are you there? Great, let's go. Ready? One, two, three.
والضحى
والضحى
والليل إذا سجى
والليل إذا سجى
ما ودعك ربك وما قلى
ما ودعك ربك وما قلى
وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى
وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى
ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى
ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله
ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى
ألم يجدك يتيما
No. ألم يجد يجدك يتيما
قلقلة right?
Because yes, the d is one of the
day or jim
No, dal.
Dal, because jim is because jim is jim has harakat, right?
Yes,
but dal is ساكن mashallah Mahdi. Let's practice it.
ألم يجد
كيت ألم يجد
Okay, so let me recite.
ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى
ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى
Thanks Mahdi
ووجدك ضالا فهدى
ووجدك ضالا فهدى
ووجدك عائلا فأغنى
ووجدك عائلا فأغنى
Hadi, why don't you say that cough?
ووجدك
ووجدك
Right?
ووجدك عائلا فأغنى
ووجدك عائلا فأغنى
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر
فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر
أحسن
وأما السائل فلا تنهر
وأما السائل فلا تنهر
Okay, there is one mad, right? وأما السائل فلا تنهر
وأما السائل there's a تشديد and there's a
Mad.
But, no, not the mad. The mad is on the alif.
Yeah, alif, maddi, and also a mad.
Seen with a tajdeed and a fatha, and Great. Then an alif with a mad.
So what is this mad? Alif Mahdi, right?
Yeah.
We have another extra
if
man.
If it's on an Alif, it's an Alif Mahdi. If it's on a Ya, it's a Ya Mahdi.
Great. So, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرُ
وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرُ
مِنْهُ الْحُسَيْنِ I hear a عَيْن. Where is Wait. That عَيْن?
No.
There's no عَيْن. Why did you say عَيْن?
I read a word with two ساكين. Here.
Where?
وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرُ has two sakin.
Yeah, of course, but they are not next to one another.
Oh, yeah, sakin down, sakin up, sakin down is impossible.
Okay.
Let's recite the Quran.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So, Minha al-Hussein, okay, be careful about Hamza. So, Hamza produces the sound of not A. That's Ayn, okay, that's not Hamza. So, but this one, which has the sound of A, wa-ammas, don't say wa-amma. So, if you say amma, that's another sir. Word. Amma, that's another word.
Wa-amma.
Two different words.
Wa-amma means amma. My aunt.
عمتي okay, عمتي yeah,
it means عمي means uncle and عمتي means aunt.
Okay, so let's read it. Okay, now pay attention to Hamza. Okay, Minhal, brothers and sisters, if you have problem in Hamza and عين, so be careful. Hamza produces the sound of a sample a sound
like
in English. Apple, if, not apple. You don't say I eat an apple.
Like in page 10, it says, وَأَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ.
Yeah, أَخَذْنَا, right.
Yeah.
Here as well, we have, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّ.
So, okay. So every single time you see an alif.
On the top of it, hamza.
Yes.
That's
and
the sound of?
And a hamza. It's a sound.
Great.
But if it's down, it's an e.
E sound, right? If it is a dhamma,
It's u.
Great. MashaAllah. E, u. So the sound is different, okay, from ayn. So how do you say? You say,
Wa-am,
great, not am. Wa-am, now repeat after me. Wa-am, after me.
Wa-am.
After me. Wa-am, masaila fala tanhar.
Wa-am, masaila fala tanhar.
Ila fala?
No.
Ila fala?
Ila, yeah.
Ila fala, you said ila fala.
No, I said...
No, you said
illa fala. Said,
wa amma sa'ila fala. Use illa fala.
That's okay, that's written. Wa amma sa'ila fala tanhar.
Wa amma sa'ila fala tanhar.
Wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith.
Wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith.
You said amma.
Did I say?
Yes, you said amma.
So, good.
It means my
fix it. Let me fix it. Let me fix it. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ You are adding some other letters. I don't know where do you bring them from.
Because, sir, we're all reading at once. We get confused.
You take some letters from your pocket out and put them there. Some of them you take and put in your pocket.
No, it's
read what it is.
So,
listen now, okay? Listen and repeat, okay? Listen carefully and then repeat. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَتِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ
فَحَدِّثْ
Okay, mashallah.
فَحَدِّثْ This is فَحَدِّثْ
فَحَدِّثْ Okay, now we will come. So, now we will go and look at the Alif Maddi, Waw Maddi, Ay Maddi, if we have. So, in the first ayah, do we have? What do we have here?
We have...
Alif Maddi, right? Mahdi?
Yeah,
in the first ayah. Mahdi? Wadduha, we have Alif Maqsura, which is Alif Maddi, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in the next ayah. Wal layli idha saja.
Again.
Again.
Maqsura.
We have another Alif Maddi as well. Where is it?
Alif Maddi.
It's the إِذَا okay. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى إِذَا okay.
You said إِذَا.
إِذَا. Now
it's
in the
problem.
Yeah, third ayah. In the third ayah, how many Alif Maddi do we have? In the third ayah? Let me read. Listen. Listen if you can find. ما ودعك ربك وما قلى three. Great. Two of them are alif maddi and the other one are alif maqsura, right?
Three,
mashallah. In the fourth ayah, how many do we have?
One.
So?
1 minute.
One khabari.
Two. Let me recite now. Look at alif, waw, madi, yai, madi as well if
two,
we have.
Two.
Sir, two.
Two. Yeah, where two. Is the first one?
The first one is in the first.
Letter. Walal akhirat. Great. Khayrul laka min al oola. La. Oo as well. Waw, madi.
Oola.
Ah, sir. Waw, madi. In walal walayli.
Oh, yeah. Oola.
Walayli. There's an alif. Hamza and the kasra. So what? Walayli. E.
Walayla. We already passed that. We are in next ayah.
Oh, what? Wama wada'aka rabbuka.
No. Walal akhira.
Walal
akhira. Oh, yeah. Walal akhira.
So in walal akhira, we have the first one. Walal akhira tu alif mati. Khayrul lanka minal u. Hadi, hadi, what is it? U.
Oola.
So what is u? Wow, maddi, mashallah.
Oola.
Oola. La is alif maddi. It has alif maddi. So, walal akhiratu khayrun laka min al oola. Don't say oola. Oola. Okay? So, next ayah, mashallah. Verse 5. Walan sawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatarda. So, fatarda, we have alif maddi, right? Alif maqsura, right?
Yeah, and maddi.
And so, do we have any waw maddi, yai maddi?
Sir.
No. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ Look. كَسْرَ دَنْ يَيْ سَاكِينَ
Sir, no, yai maddi. So, I hear people saying وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى
Maybe because they are pronouncing the dad so kind of heavily. Okay, that's why. Or so firmly. So, fatarda.
No, that's pronouncing the fa.
So, in this ayah, pay attention. In this ayah, we have yu'tika, which is ya'i madi, right? Kasra. After kasra, we have ya' sakin. Yu'tika. So, don't say yu'tika. Yu'tika is wrong. يُعْطِيكَ يُعْطِي plus ka يُعْطِيكَ Okay? Then فَتَرُضَى أَلِفْ مَدِّي which is أَلِفْ مَقْصُورَ right? So inshallah next session we will go and study something new. But before that let's thank all the students all the friends who are here and also Xavier International School and also IRIB
English Radio.
IRIB,
not IRIB. It's IRIB.
Then when I said IRIB.
No, not you.
Not I.
May Allah Almighty help us, okay, again. IRIB. Inshallah, to hold these sessions, let's recite a salawat.
IRIB.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahu.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
www.parstoday.com/en
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.